Welcome to the P4C podcast. We are excited to reshare with you this year's teaching through God's Word at Passion for Christ Summit. The P4C podcast delivers rich truths for your life, and we know you will be blessed. We now join our speaker for today's message. We hope you are encouraged and challenged.
So, the title in your book of my thing is Perspective, a Game Changer. So, some of you that know me, if you don't, I love to watch football. I will not mention my team because we have rivalries in here sitting on the end. But game day comes on Saturday, and I love game day. Charles and I will eat our breakfast. But what I, you know, my top is on perspective. And what I've noticed, you know, game day starts, and so all those commentators that are supposed to be the experts of who's going to win and not going to win, and they spend all this time, well, if this team would do this, if this team would do that, it's really just human perspective, and it's just their opinion. Well, by the time my game rolls around, I'm starting to feel like that. Like, oh, no. The way they've been talking about my team, we're not going to make it. And they may be right because we haven't been doing so hot. And so you go along and you go along. And so from my perspective, it's all over before the game even starts. But then something happens in the game. Big play, the momentum shifts in the second half. All of a sudden, we're smoking it. And I'm like, whoa. I think we can win. We're going to win. But my perspective has changed. And what I want us to think about so often as we go through this talk today, that sometimes it's our perspective or other perspectives or noises or conversations or social media, whatever we want to call it, will come in. And you know, we all know this. It will affect. It's happened to me. Our perspective. So we are going to be looking at the difference between God's perspective and our human perspective. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, and it's in your little booklet, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." So let's look at human perspective. Human perspective is like being in a submarine. All is underwater, and if you look, you can't look out the windows. You can when you're above, but when that submarine goes down, you can't see anything. It's all dark, and they have to use a periscope that comes up to tell them everything that's going around them. So when we, it's like blackness to us unless we have God's perspective, because God's perspective sees beyond what we see. We can compare God's perspective to this periscope. He sees where the submarine's going, and he knows where it's been, and all things work together for good to them that love God, to them which are called according to his purpose. So he knows where we've been, he knows where we're going, and he knows where we're heading. No matter how dark it may seem to us, and it does get dark sometimes. I mean, we're humans, and sometimes we get overwhelmed. And I mean, honestly, I was getting just so overwhelmed about this voice thing. And so I'm going, well, I'm not the most important cog in the wheel here. The preaching's the most important. But it was so sweet. This is not in my notes. But so Abby said, "I'm going to take you to Walmart." We went last night. You know, I had my little coughing fit when I ran out. And she said, "I'm going to get you some coat throat or whatever, herbal tea." I've drank so many different herbal teas this week, I'm kind of squishing around. But, you know, I'm working. And so on the way back, I was saying this. And she said, "But Pam, I remember the first time I came several years ago, and it encouraged me because sometimes women need to hear from a woman. And we look at things perspective-wise different than men. God made us that way, and it's kind of a good arrangement, I think." But she said, "But I remember when you handed out the cards and you said, you would pray for us during the year. She, because they were, her family was having a dark time. And I thought to myself, if I cannot even talk, I will hand out those prayer cards and we will, I will pray for you. And that is the most important part. But so far, so good. The Lord's letting me talk. So I'd like to tell you a funny story. Years ago, I was very young, and I wanted to go to Disney World to meet. My mother was adopted, and I met my aunt for the first time, and I took my brother because I was working, and we flew to Disney World. Well, they had this ride, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Now, there's a movie. All y'all have watched that Disney movie, but it may not even be there now because you know everything's Star Wars and all that. So we get in this thing that's like a submarine, and you go down, walk down, you sit in this seat, and you look out the window. And so all of a sudden, it starts bubbling up, so you feel like you're moving, right? And then the voice is over the, here we go, dive, dive. And we're diving, right? And we're going down under. And I'm like, okay, this experience is kind of cool. How far down are we going? But when I got off the ride and realized we did not really dive, we didn't really go anywhere, but it gave all the appearance, the voices, the bubbles, what I was seeing, but it was not reality. And I was thinking about this when I was writing this. I said, ooh, Lord, sometimes things can seem like reality, can't they? But they're not. And that's why this conference is important, and I'm guilty of it too. We got to rein in our thoughts and our influences and realize what reality is. I feel sometimes as Christians, we can allow ourselves to listen to wrong voices or human reasoning, even my own voice, and not really have God's perspective. So I'm pulling out all the years ago things. This was a cross stitch years ago. It's all taped in. Now, I have a sister-in-law. When she does this cross stitch, it's perfect. You can read the back. My thought was, nobody's going to see this back. So we're just going to go for it, right? So I did all this. But when you look at these threads, it doesn't seem like to make much sense. I mean, you can't tell what's on this other side. And so this is human perspective. We don't see the big picture. Now, I take that cross-stitch picture on the beautiful side and turn it around, and we frame God's word, and it makes a beautiful design for his glory, and it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And that is so important. We need to remember this is not all this. This is the picture. This is the perspective. This is God's perspective. And let's hope it don't fall. You remember that day? I knocked over everything I was having my talk. So God wants us to take and frame his word and make it a beautiful design in our life as godly women so he is glorified. Now, just as we can see the design of the threads, God can always, he knows the circumstances, he knows your difficulties and my difficulties, and our lives work together to conform us to him, his image. God is doing the stitching, and aren't we glad? Psalm 139:16 says, thine eye did see my substance, yet being imperfect, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, as yet there was none of them. If I pick up the binoculars, I love little things you can do, you know. If I pick up these binoculars and look through the wrong end, right, which I've done before, there is no focus. That's not what this is for, because everything is so far away. And I'm afraid most of the time in my life, it's like I'm looking in the wrong end of the binoculars. Ever had days like that? Yeah. Of course you have. We have them all the time. But if when I do it God's way and I look through the correct lens, which of course is his word, And then things come into focus. God brings it right up to me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and exalt his name. And that magnify is like these binoculars are like a magnifying glass. You know how you use a magnifying? Everything is just bigger than life. And that's what God wants to do in our lives with scripture, and his perspective and not ours. Then there's biblical perspective. And I got to thinking about this, and I thought, I'll just give a few little examples. One of my favorite that I want to share today, it's in Psalm 73. And we're going to look at verses 16 through 18. And I have so been where David has been, and I'm sure you're going to relate. So in Psalm 16 through 28, David is struggling when he sees the foolish and the wicked prospering. And it's getting to him. He becomes envious of their prosperity. 73:12 says, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches." He was plagued daily. He saw prideful, violent, wicked people, which seemed to be doing all right. Now, are we experiencing that right now in our life? That scripture in this world, in our context, I mean, that's what I say sometimes. I've been like David. Why, Lord? Why don't you deal with this? Why is this happening? Why does it seem like they're prospering? But here's, nothing was happening to them, though David thought. See, David was thinking, nothing's happening to them. What's going on, Lord? And this just sounds familiar, and I get that way sometimes. But look at verse 16 and 17. When 16 says, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." He just couldn't hardly stand it. Why are these wicked made to prosper? Why are they doing okay? And I absolutely love this verse. And David says, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end." David saw the reality, and we know that people that don't turn and trust Christ as their Savior, we know what their end is. David saw it's not right now that's so important, but their end is coming, and they would be consumed. 18, their end would be that they would slip, and he would cast them down into destruction. They would be consumed. This was a turning point in David's perspective. He realized God's perspective in these matters. It was a game changer, wasn't it? Changed the whole game. And David realized. And sometimes we don't always see this, but that one thing we do know as David, scripture is clear. If they don't belong to the Lord and they continue in their ways, there will be destruction. And they will, if they don't turn from their wicked ways, God will take care of that. And then there's Esther. I think I love Esther in the Bible so much, not because she was beautiful and charming and the king chose her. It's not that she was clever in the way that she got what she wanted out of the king by wearing the best gown and standing in the right light, which did not hurt. And the Lord used her beauty. He used her beauty. Or that she could be passed off as just another pretty face. And if it weren't for those five little words, this is what made Esther. "If I perish, I perish." And you know the story of Esther, where she had to go in and she became the queen, and she was trying to save all the Jewish nation because the king was trying to destroy them. And when Esther said, "If I perish, I perish, that's when Esther expressed her magnificence. Esther had no idea what God was going to use her for. All she knew was to do up until that time was to be a woman, the best woman she knew to be. Perhaps she didn't even know she had it in her to say, "If I perish, I perish." You know, sometimes we don't think we have it in us to do the things that God wants us to do. But we do, with his help. God's perspective was that he had a plan for her life as a woman. God has a plan for our life, your life. He still has a plan for me. Perspective changes both our view and our attitudes. We must not become women who have lost the overall perspective of God's plan and are looking. Now pay attention. As a woman, we don't need to lose this perspective that God has for us, that we're not just looking for significance rather than magnificence in the Lord. Sometimes we may not see the whole picture till eternity. You know, I think there's a lot of stuff, especially for women. You know, we're significant if we do this, and we're significant if we do that, or don't do this, or don't do that. But we want magnificence. We want to magnify. We want to magnify. We want to pull it up, bring it in perspective, get the larger picture of what God has for us as a woman. And we must get that perspective from the Word of God. Not, it's fine to read books, and it's fine, but you know what I'm saying? The most important place is, what does God say about you? Now think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who said, "My soul does magnify the Lord." There we've got that magnify again, bringing the Lord up, making it large. Little did she know that in that moment of magnificence, she would watch the Lord down a cross, a cruel death. Now that she's in eternity, I'm sure she sees the whole plan of God. She didn't know at that time the whole picture, but now she's in eternity, she sees what the whole picture. What she did was magnify the Lord, bring him up closer where everyone can see. So our perspective must always be with eternity in view. And sometimes that's kind of hard. And I think the younger you are, sometimes that's even harder. Well, that's wonderful background music. I think she's fixing to go tell him to stop. But, where was I? Thank you. The older I get, eternity looks really close, you know. And the older you move and you get where I am, you think about eternity more. And that's not a bad thing. But I think that's where our perspective sometimes gets a little skewed, because we're not filtering everything through eternity. What does God, because that's the end, you know, that, does it glorify God? Does it magnify God? Does it bring him closer to us and to others? Now in John 20, 3 through 8, this is another one of my favorite places in the Bible. Now Jesus has been crucified and he's been put in the tomb, and he's been wrapped in the garment clothes and he's in the tomb. So this is when Peter and the other disciple, they think it was John. So Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, believed to be John, and came to the tomb. So they ran both together, and the other disciple, which they thought was John, did outrun Peter and came to the tomb. And he stooped down, and looking in, he saw the linen clothes lying where Jesus wasn't there, you know, all folded up. Yet he didn't go in. The word used here for see means to see with the eyes. The other disciple noticed just to see. Then Peter comes following him, and he sees the linen clothes lying there. Now when the word in the Greek used here means he saw and he paid attention. And the napkin, the cloth that was about the Lord's head, not lying with the linen clothes, but it was wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in the other disciple that came the first time, and he saw and believed. The word saw here was a different meaning. It means understanding. You know, first he just saw it, then Peter comes in and he's really paying attention. Then the other disciple runs in and he understood. When Peter went into the tomb, His perspective was from a human perspective. He just saw it. Like if we saw it, we'd go, oh, where's Jesus? But when the other disciple looked and saw it the second time, he really paid attention. He had a biblical perspective. I like to call it a aha moment. You ever have those aha moments or a game changer? Because this is going to change the whole game for these two disciples. The perspective was biblical and spiritual because listen to the next verse. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They didn't know that. They didn't realize it first. The perspective was understanding who Christ was. He was the Messiah, the Savior, the bigger picture, the picture of eternity in view. And that's how it finally, when they finally understood, they saw with understanding, they knew that this was Christ. He had rose again from the grave. And this is eternity in view. So let's, I'm sorry. So let's look at the gospel perspective. We must have a biblical perspective and understanding of the gospel, not our perspective or a man-centered ideas of the gospel. So the scripture, God has spoken in his word. We don't need a feeling or just a word to discern his will for our lives. We only need the word of God. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Mark Dever. He's a preacher. And this is what he said. I love this. If you want to hear God speak in an audible voice, read your Bible out loud. Think about that. Because, you know, people will say, oh, I got a word from the Lord. Well, did you read the Bible out loud? Because that's the word you're going to get. And I just think that's beautiful. Read that Bible out loud. That's God speaking. That's God telling you his will. You're studying the Bible. You'll know his will. The most important perspective is our view of the gospel. I think, you know, we have biblical perspective fighting against our human perspective. But the most important perspective is what is your view of the gospel? That nothing skews your view of the gospel, that it lines up with the word of God. Christ is central. He's central to everything in our life, to what we do or don't do and how we think and how we live our life. Philippians 3, 9 through 10 says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him personally and intimately. That's added extra. That's not there in the scripture. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And I got a little something I'm going to end with that someone had sent me. I thought it was just kind of cool when you want to think about. Before I read it though, this is just, if anything encourages you or you get anything out of this, just Christ is the central. Know where you stand with Christ. Christ is the only way to salvation. Christ is by faith, but grace alone, and it's his righteousness, not ours, of course. And I think I had to leave because I had a coughing fit. Brother Brad was talking about that. You know, it's not all these things. It's the grace of God. So I thought I'd read this little thing if I can find it. Okay, you know how that is. It's on my phone. I should have written it out, but I did not. So we're going to find it. I don't know. And you may have already seen it, some of you, because I think I've seen it saved. But I don't know. I just think it kind of really sends a message. Just give me a second. I think we're ahead of the game here. All right. So here we go. How does the thief on the cross fit in your theology. And I'll take a little pause there. One time I was sitting with a family relative and trying to give her the gospel because I know she wasn't a believer. And this person kept saying, well, we do soup kitchens and we do this and that. And so finally it hit me. Just go to the cross. Go to the cross. That's where you're always going to land. And it's going to be right. And I talked about the thief on the cross. Well, she jumped up and ran to the bathroom. But that's not unusual, you know, when you're running from the Lord. But that's the truth. So when I read this, I thought about that. So how does the thief on the cross fit into your theology? No baptism, no communion, no confirmation, no speaking in tongues, no mission trip, no volunteerism, no financial gifts, no church clothes. He couldn't even bend his knee to pray. He didn't say the sinner's prayer, and among other things, he was a thief. Jesus didn't take away his pain, heal his body, or smite his scoffers. These are the two thieves on the side of Jesus. Yet it was a thief who walked into paradise the same hour as Jesus by simply believing. He had nothing more to offer other than his belief that Jesus was who he was, he said he was. No spin from brilliant theologians, no ego, no arrogance, no shiny lights. I thought this one was funny. No skinny jeans or crafty words. We've seen a few of those. No fog machine, no donuts or coffee in the lobby, just a naked, dying man on a cross, unable to even fold his hands to pray. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. That is the good news of the gospel. Okay, I'm going to pray and then we'll talk a little because I think I'm quicker than they are. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, first of all, I just want to praise your name that you let my voice come back this morning. That was answered prayer. I'm so grateful for that, Lord. And Lord, I pray that if there's any sin or any wrong thing in my message, that they will not remember it. But Lord, that you would take just these encouraging words from your word and from life and encourage these ladies. I pray for each one, Lord. They are so special. Lord, they love you, and they're here to learn about you. And so, God, I just pray that you would make this a wonderful week in your word and the fellowship and the sweet times of new friends and old friends. Lord, we thank you so much that it overwhelms my heart, Lord, that I didn't have to do anything, that you called me and you chose me and I trusted you. And Lord, it's you that does all the saving. And it's you that keeps me. And it's you that forgives me when I fall. And when, Lord, we are in that human perspective, it's so beautiful when you come alongside us and you show us the scripture, Lord, and you bring it home to us. Give us more of those aha moments, Lord, those game changer moments in our lives that we're following your word and we're trusting you with our lives. And we just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this week. If you have questions about P4C, visit our website at p4csummit.org, or you can email us at info@p4csummit.org. We hope you can join us next week on the P4C podcast as we dive into a new session from Passion for Christ. May God bless you as you seek to passionately live for His glory each and every day.